Okay, we'll call the meeting to order, Environment and Natural Resources Policy. First bill we are going to have is the, here's going to be the program. We're going to hear each bill, Representative Ward, a very short amount on your bill. And then we're going to lay it over. And then we have an amendment that's going to amend the bill to include everybody's land bill except the Kelly bill, of which we're going to take a vote on that in the Lohmer bill. But first, before we go one inch further, is Ms. Lewis here from DNR. Could you come forward for a moment, please? Chair has a question.
Is it too late?
Thank you, Ms. Lewis, for coming. If you state your name for the tape, please.
Mr. Chair, members, Kathy Lewis, DNR, Lands and Minerals.
Okay. Ms. Lewis, I've reviewed the packet of bills that we have before us, and so my question is, on any of the bills, does the department have any objections? Because that has always been a bit of a litmus test for the lands bills that go into the non-controversial land bill. Are any your opinion on the package as listed on the agenda?
Mr. Chair, members, what I did was I reviewed the ones that were the tax forfeited land bills that were provided by your committee administrator, so I did not review all the bills on the committee agenda.
Okay, so I was trying to avoid having you keep coming up every time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look for you in the audience, and if you have any concerns, you can indicate that.
Certainly.
Otherwise, we will assume that you do not, and I will look at you on each bill. That way we don't have to have you coming back and forth. Okay, thank you very much for coming up. Representative Ward, Chair moves House File 2238 for possible inclusion in the lands bill. Go ahead, Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is just a Crow Wing County proposing to sell four parcels that do not truly fit in the county's land management strategies and cannot be effectively or efficiently managed as part of a tax forfeited land base. These parcels are isolated and are better suited in other ownership and use. And, Mr. Chair, I have a letter from the DNR that says the department has no objection if legislation is sought to authorize public sale of these parcels.
Anyone on the committee have questions on the Ward bill? Anyone in the audience like to come forward, testify for or against the bill? There being none, the DNR is good with the bill. Chair renews his motion for 2238 to be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Ward. Then we have House File 2317. The Chair will move that bill for Representative Ward. 2317, Ms. Lewis, any objections? There being none, Representative Ward, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is a bill that would allow the City of Brainerd to purchase a privately owned dam, and I can get into it very significantly if you want, Mr. Chair, but I would rather, you know, just see if there are questions. The City has already approved, City Brainerd City Council has already approved the purchase. The DNR has sent the letter of approval. It's been inspected. There is one repair that needs to be made to the tune of $1.5 million that will be funded through local bonding. It's going to be owned by the City of Brainerd, and the reason is to try to invest in electric power for the citizens of the City of Brainerd and lower some of those costs. Mr. Chair, I think a lot of members on this committee actually heard this bill once already, so I'll just stand for any questions that anybody might have.
Well, Representative Guinness, you have a question? Oh, I thought you might, because usually when we sell a dam to someone, they come back to your committee for money years later. So I thought you might have a question on that. I asked that same question of Representative Ward in a former committee. Does the city really want the dam?
Yes, you did, Mr. Chair.
They do want the dam. Okay, that is on the record. Any further questions by the members? There being none, anybody like to testify for or against the bill? There being none, the chair renews his motion to lay House File 2317 over for possible inclusion. The next bill is Representative Lancheski. I see her. I believe I saw her in the room. And so the chair will move House File 2873 for possible inclusion. There was allegedly an amendment. Apparently, we're not doing the amendment. Does the department have any objection to the Ms. Lewis? Do you have any objection? She shakes her head no. Representative Lancheski, to your bill. Like in the tax committee, we take very little time to hear a bill, but make lots of good decisions.
Oh, nice. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. The bill is a number of tax forfeited lands. It's requested by the county board, and there is selling a parcel in Bloomington to Fish and Wildlife. That's it. I think you have the handouts. If not, the page has the handouts.
Any questions by the members? There being none, any questions from the audience, for or against? Does not appear there is. So the chair will lay House File 2873 over for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you. Very impressive.
Oh. Representative Wills, House File 2239. The chair will move the House File 2239 for possible inclusion. Ms. Lewis, any objections to that bill? There being none, Representative Wills, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is House File 2239, and it's a parcel of just under an acre. And in your packet, you have a letter from the DNR indicating that they approve of the transfer from the DNR to the city of Rosemount. And there's also a map if you're interested in looking at where this is, right off of Keegan Lake. So it's already been agreed to between the city and the DNR.
I want to make sure I have this right, Representative Wills. I moved House File 2239. I thought I heard you say House File 2279. For the record, let's make sure we have
2239.
All right, thank you very much. I thought that's what we had. Any questions by the members? There being none. Anyone in the audience testify for or against the Representative Wills' bill? There being none, the chair renews his motion to lay the bill over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
You're welcome. Good to see you again. Representative Anzell, the chair will move House File 2959 for possible inclusion. Representative Anzell is the author. The DNR have any objections? There being none. Representative Anzell, are you in the room? I saw you here a bit ago. I think what we'll do is I will just move the bill. Are there any questions by the members or anyone? Any questions by the members? There being none, anyone in the audience to test for or against the Anzell's bill? There being none, I'll lay it over for possible inclusion even without Representative Anzell being here. We can always take action on it at another time. All right, that bill, the chair renews his motion for 2959 to be laid over. Representative Johnson. Okay, Representative Johnson, the chair will move your bill, House File 2747. Ms. Lewis, any objections? None is indicated. To your bill, House File 2747, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, House File 2747 deals with the three lots in a subdivision in Chisago County, just off Goose Lake in Harris. It's tax forfeited land. The best interest in the county would, and talking with DNR, was to put that money back on the tax rolls.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any questions by the members on the Johnson bill? Being none, anyone in the audience to testify for or against? There being none, the chair removes his motion to lay over House File 2747 for possible inclusion. Thank you, sir. All right, the next bill up is the Johnson bill as well. The chair will move House File 2530 to be laid over for possible inclusion, and we'll take your A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that the author wants it. Representative Johnson, the A1 amendment is moved.
The A1 amendment is to allow an easement for the Wild River Scenic Area and the Recreational River at the request of DNR.
And the DNR obviously has no objections to the bill. All right, any members have a question on the bill as amended? There being none, anyone in the audience to testify for or against the bill as amended? Does not appear that there is. The chair will move the bill be laid over for possible inclusion as amended. Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Thank you.
Representative Leininger. The chair will move House File 3009 for Representative Leininger for possible inclusion. Ms. Lewis, any objections to that bill? There being none.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. Thank you. House File 3009 is about tax forfeit conservation land being turned over to the cities, the mayors of the cities, and would like to speak to the bill, if that's possible.
Welcome. Introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with
We'll start with Watertown, please.
Thank you, Mr. Leidiger. Honorable Mr. Chair, my name is Steve Washburn, council member for the city of Watertown. Thank you for your consideration today. We've been working long and hard at trying to get to a point where we could be in front of you today. Our request to approve this private sale of tax forfeiture land within the city limits of Watertown is consistent with our city comprehensive plan, regional land use planning, and has the support of the DNR, Carver County, the Watertown Mayor School District, and many members of our community. It's going to help us improve our quality of life, add a natural conservation area inside our city, and pave the way for new development. I'm happy to answer any specific questions you may have. I'd like to introduce Amy Mant from our community that would speak specifically on the bill.
Hi, I have lived in Watertown for about 13 years and a teacher there, and we've grown our family there, and I've been one of the leaders in the community wanting this park to turn, or this, right now it's a farmland, to turn back into a park area. We'd love the wildlife to be back, and we have now growing children, so they need a place to play football and, you know, wreak havoc with the neighbor boys and things like that. It's actually great not just for our neighborhood but the surrounding neighborhood, so we don't have to cross the big county roads over there. And I just personally want to thank you for letting me be a part of this, and it's very cool to see how the cities can work with the state, so thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, that's great to have you here, and I just want you, for so we get your fine voice on the record, to give your name and who you represent, which is obviously yourself.
All right, I'm Amy Mant. Thank
and you're
you.
From?
And I am from Watertown.
That's a good place. All right, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. The next city is the city of Norwood Young American. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Tina Diedrich. I am the mayor of Norwood Young America. I want to thank you for letting me speak on behalf of the residents of Norwood Young America today. For your committee, the city is pursuing a tax forfeiture along, it's a parcel considered Outlot A along Young America Lake, which is considered a wetland, which would offer a buffer between the residential development, as well as it would protect the wildlife. The city of Norwood Young America is fortunate enough to have three natural lakes within its city limits, which allows for a lot of duck hunting in the fall, and we also have a lot of migrating birds such as swans, pelicans, and other wildlife come through the area, and we're really blessed to have these lakes in our community. And the city is working to acquire this property in order to enhance and connect our trail system and have access around that lake. So I also want to thank our local school board, as well as our Carver County commissioners, have included resolutions of support for this legislation. As well, it's been a pleasure working with Carver County and the DNR on this process, and I want to thank Representative Leidiger and his staff for working with us to get this bill before you in committee. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm certain that at the very least, Representative McNamara and I support the bill, since the duck hunting is going to be good, and probably others. next testifier, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Bob Fry from Norwood Young America. I'm representing myself, and I think this is a very appropriate time to move the property from land bank to local control. I think it'll be a great asset to the community, and I'm looking forward to your support of it.
Okay. Any questions by the members? There being none, anyone in the audience like testify for or against the Leidiger bill? There being none, the chair moves to lay over 3009, House File 3009, for possible inclusion. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Representative Purcell moves House File 2867 to be laid over for possible inclusion, and Representative Purcell also moves the A1 amendment, deleting sections 2 and 3 of the bill. If that's correct, Representative Purcell, would you state that? And also, does the department have any objections to the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that motion is correct.
I see Ms. Lewis is coming up. Ms. Lewis, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kathy Lewis,
We don't have objections, but we did request an author's amendment regarding two of the parcels in Bell County.
Could you put the mic a little closer to you?
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, we did request, DNR did request that there be an author's amendment to two parcels in Beltrami County because the DNR has asked that they be sold to the DNR at fair market value. So is there...
Representative Purcell.
Mr. Chair, I have the A1 amendment. I thought that's what you were referring to earlier, but my apologies. I have an A1 amendment.
And incorporated in your motion for you the adoption of the A1 amendment, so we're on the bill as amended.
And we have support from the counties and the DNR at this time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I made that clear. Representative McNamara,
thank you, Mr.
bill.
Chair. Representative Purcell, where was the hope? What was the private sale of sections 2 and 3 going to be originally? It seems the DNR wants to do a public sale, and what was the intent? Where was the private sale going to go, to a neighbor or to what was that going
to
be?
I'd need to get somebody from the county here to give you that answer, unless
Ms. Lewis,
DNR would know that.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, the two parcels that are being pulled out of section 1 and creating a new section are two parcels that are small that border Lake Bemidji, and what we looked at the parcels and said we would like to be able to use them for trail purposes. The bill as originally proposed would have offered them at public sale to any bidder. We are asking them to be sold to the DNR at fair market value, so it would be a private sale of the parcels. And then the other part of the bill that they pulled out is there was an overlap in two bills, and so there was two sections that were pulled out of the bill to separate Beltrami from Itasca County.
Okay. Any other further questions by the members? Anyone to testify for or against the Purcell bill as amended? There being none, the Representative Purcell moves that House File 2867 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
The next bill, now, members, we are going to take a vote on this bill. Representative Lohmer, House File 3060, and the motion will be refer the bill to the Capital Investment Committee. Yeah. So the chair will make that motion, Representative Lohmer, to your bill, to the department. Do you have any objections to that bill? You do not. All right, Representative Lohmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Mr. Chair, this bill, House File 3040, will allow the transfer of property from the Department of Corrections, specifically the Stillwater Prison, to the City of Bayport for use to build a much-needed and larger fire station. The city has outgrown their current location and may have been in discussion with the DOC about transferring this property. I have Mayor Susan St. Orris from Bayport here to testify, as well as Fire Chief Mark Swenson and City Administrator Logan Martin, to further explain the bill and answer any questions. And I also am very pleased that there are folks from the Department of Administration here, as well as Commissioner Roy, if you'd like to ask them any questions or like to hear their testimony on this. Commissioner Roy is in support of this. And, Mr. Chair, I do have an oral amendment, if that's possible.
Go ahead with the oral amendment.
On line 1.12, delete the words, after the conveyance, the land is no longer considered state bond finance property. Asking you to delete that.
Okay, one moment while we work on that with Ms. Taylor. We're getting the bill out and want to make sure we get it correct. So,
right.
Go ahead, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment would read on line 1.12, delete everything after the period, and then delete line 1.13.
And so can you tell us the net effect of the amendment?
It would remove the language he specified, after the conveyance, the land is no longer considered state bond finance property.
And so we would still send this to the Capital Bonding Committee. Could you explain why this is going to the Capital Bonding Committee? Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, as I understand it, the property was originally financed with bond funds, and Capital Investment would like to see the bill.
All right. So the chair, I think I said 3040, House File 3040, in my introduction to the bill, moving it for Representative Lohmer. It's actually 3060. And are there questions on the amendment? Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I do have questions about deleting of this sentence and Ms. Taylor's saying that it needs to go to capital investment. Do you mind if we ask Ms. Lewis at some point about that specific thing? I'm trying to understand that, and I thought I had a conversation once with Ms. Lewis about needs for, like, in this situation. I'd like to understand that better at some point.
Okay. Representative McNamara, the way I understand it is that this land was bought with bonding, and that's the reason it's going there, to make sure that this bill undoes it, sells it, gets it out of state ownership, and it was paid for with state general fund or state obligation. And I certainly can have Ms. Lewis come up and testify on the bill. I'm not sure. Do you have anything that you could add, Ms. Lewis, on this issue regarding the bonding or the fact that it's no longer considered the amendment? Ms. Lewis is coming up. Representative McNamara, if you'd like to ask Ms. Lewis your question.
Ms. Lewis, what is the implications of this? Does this need 81 votes from capital investment, or why does it need to go to capital investment? Are the bonds still outstanding, still being paid for? I'm trying to understand this.
Mr. Chair, members, there is a provision in statute to sell property acquired with state bonding dollars, and it's 16A.695, subdivision 3, and that provides that there's approval needed from the Minnesota Management Budget Office, and it has to be at appraised value. This property would be sold at no consideration, so that's one reason that it needs legislation. The other issue is, and the DNR has sold bond property through following that procedure, and we don't need legislation when we're doing it at appraised value. We've had provisions that we've been exchanging state bond property in prior land bills, and we've come and gotten legislation for that. Has not gone to the Capital Investment Committee. That's obviously not a decision that we make from the DNR side. And the question about the 3/5 vote, that pertains to Minnesota constitutional provision that says if you're acquiring debt, the legislature has to have a 3/5 vote. I understand there's a variance of opinion out there of whether the sale with no consideration requires a 3/5 vote.
Representative McNamara, I think that when we pass a bonding bill, we have to have 81 votes to pass it. I do not know what the precedent is on disposing of the land at some point. And that is the reason it's going to capital investments, for them to examine that. It's also included in our delete all. Okay. It's also included in our delete all that we may consider adopting here after we've heard all of the bills. And we can revisit that at that time. Representative McNamara.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I'm assuming at some point we're going to hear testimony from the agencies. If the agencies are in favor of this and there's not opposition, that must affect whether or not this, how it moves forward too. Would that be true? I mean, if the agencies are in favor of it, I think Representative Lohmer made mention that potentially Department of Correction was in favor of it. Maybe they see an advantage in a fire station being close to a 100-year-old building. I'm not sure, but there might be a reason why they're in favor of it. That would seem to be something favorable to the situation. I don't know about the management, the Office of Budget Management folks. So.
Well, Representative McNamara, at the end of this hearing on this bill, we are going to take a vote and decide if it's going to capital investment. We're not laying it over, and we're going to actually send it out to capital investment. And there will be ample opportunity along the way for citizens to give their input, including at this hearing. In these different hearings as it goes through to get potentially to the floor, to the general register, and then being taken up. So I think we're on the same
right.
page.
I'm understanding.
Maybe saying it differently, but I think we're at the same
place. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Isaacson, do you have a question?
No, I was going to comment that last year when we were trying to pass a bill on selling a school, possibly selling a school off that was bought with bonding dollars, we were told quite explicitly that anything that's been bought with bonding dollars, in order to dispose of it, you need to pass it with the same number of votes to leave with it. So that's where it would answer the same thing to this land.
Okay. So what you're saying, Representative Isaacson, that if the bill makes it to the floor, it takes 81 votes to undo it.
That's my understanding.
So we'll get some We'll be learning this as we go along. Representative Wagenius, maybe you have some information that can help us with this.
I have no information that can help. I have a question.
Go ahead with your question.
The amendment to take out the after the conveyance, the land is no longer considered state bond finance property. Well, it was state bond finance property, and I don't get the reason for telling the world that black is white.
Representative Lowen, black and white.
Okay, well, I'll see what I can do here, and then I'm going to maybe ask for some help. But the reason that we took that line out is because we don't want it to be a situation where, and this was not their intent, but if they would get the property and then turn around and sell it for something else. So we're making it clear that we just want to take out any question about that. And that was from the Department of Administration. They just wanted us to take that line out. So, and Logan, maybe you want to address this too.
Well, Rick Pebbleginius,
or am I?
Go ahead with the question. And remember, we are on the amendment. We have not adopted the Loemmer Amendment at this point, and we will be voting on that amendment. So, Representative Wagenius, your question.
Well, your explanation doesn't help me out here, so okay. We're going to have to try another one.
Okay. Well, I'll let Logan give it a try, maybe.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Logan Martin, City Administrator for the City of Bayport. Thanks for having us here today. To your question, Representative Wagenius, what the amendment would do would be to clarify that it is state bond finance property and that the city would continue to consider it state bond finance property into the future. So that line item would have changed its definition as once being financed by state bonds. Department of Administration has asked us to strike that statement so that we can all be on the same page that this was and always will be state bond finance property. Just to clarify that it stays in the public ownership in the public realm at all times, so that and the property, if the city were to have the opportunity to acquire it, would be deed restricted to be publicly used at all times, and so it would just clarify that situation.
Okay. I get it.
Anyone else have a question? So on the oral amendment by Representative Loemmer, in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The bill is amended. Representative Loemmer, to your testifiers or any further testifying?
Great. I'm going to let my testifiers talk about this now. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Welcome to the testifiers. You've already introduced yourself, sir. Just say your name one more time.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Logan Martin, City of Bayport. Thanks so much for having us here. This bill would provide the City of Bayport the opportunity to acquire a little over 4 acres of land on the Stillwater Correctional Facility, which is located in the City of Bayport, in which to construct a new fire station for the Bayport Fire Department. As the members are aware, the Bayport Fire Department serves the cities of Oak Park Heights, Baytown Township, and West Lakeland Township, along with Bayport's about 13,000 residents, over 27 square miles in Washington County along the St. Croix River. Very active fire department, a very growing fire department, and a very growing community. As such, we have a station built in the 1940s that has been built to its capacity, is no longer structurally sound, and needs to be expanded. As well, the current facility is across the street from Anderson Elementary School, which is a very dangerous situation. So the fire department has found this piece of property on the Stillwater Prison land that would be perfect for a fire station. Gets us away from the downtown of Bayport, away from this elementary school where fire trucks are backing in around the elementary school. And we feel as it serves as a great partnership between the city and the Department of Corrections. As Representative Loemmer stated, the Department of Corrections is supportive of this process. The warden at the Stillwater Prison is supportive of this land transfer. They're excited about the opportunity to get the Bayport Fire Department on the grounds of the prison, and we're excited to move this forward. The Stillwater Prison has been in Bayport for 100 years. They're celebrating their 100-year anniversary this spring. The fire department has been providing service to the Stillwater Prison for 100 years, so it's been a tax-free partnership for 100 years, and it is of our opinion that this is an opportunity for the Department of Corrections and the prison to give to show a great partnership back to the City of Bayport by providing us this acreage of land. It's a very low-lying piece of land. It has no water and sewer stub to it, so it would be not extremely usable to anybody beyond us. The city will be investing a significant amount of money to make it usable for a fire station, and so we certainly are excited about the opportunity to see this legislation move forward. Chief Swenson and Mayor Senors are here as well if you'd like to ask us any further questions.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Questions by the members on the bill as amended, Representative Loehmer's bill as amended. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious because the property that the current fire station is on is across the street from the high or from the elementary school, and you've expressed concern about the safety issues there. What are you going to do with that land if you're going to abandon that as a fire station?
Representative Loehmer, or to one of the testifiers.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we would consider a number of options with the building. It could serve as a storage area, parking area, or in a kind of expansion area for our police department. So the police department, you know, takes in forfeiture vehicles. We could park forfeited vehicles inside of the building. Or if it continues to fall into structural disrepair, it might be a demolition scenario where the city demolishes it. It's an extremely small building, about 10,000 square feet. So we could demolish it and have it as surface parking or something to that nature, but it doesn't have a whole lot of reuse at this time.
Further questions by the members? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if one of the testifiers could give me a clue of the scope. How big a piece, parcel of property are we talking? And does anybody have any idea what the value of this amount of the Department of Corrections property is?
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman of this committee, it's 4.2 acres of property. If you received a packet, there's an aerial map on the second page. So it's right at the corner of Stagecoach Trail and Fifth Avenue at the southwest corner of the Stillwater Prison property. It's a little over 4 acres, would house a 20,000 square foot fire station facility. And at this point, we've been notified by the Department of Administration that the appraised value for the property is $200,000. We have yet to see an appraisal, but that is the notification that we've received.
Okay, further questions by the members? Anyone, any agencies, or any member of the public like to testify for or against the bill? Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Tom Roy. I have the good fortune of being the Commissioner of Corrections for the state of Minnesota. Seldom do I sit at tables like this and talk about win-win situations, but this is certainly an opportunity to do that. Governor Dayton has constantly preached to his commissioners, make this government work. And this is certainly an instance where government can work, and I'm so pleased to give not only my support to this transfer, but also the governor's support to this transfer. It, as Representative McNamara said, it is a great opportunity for us to have a emergency center near our 100-year facility. As you know, Stillwater also has an industrial area, and we have had fires and we have had injuries, and clearly, this opportunity to work with the mayor and the chief and the administrator is an opportunity that we don't see often. We do have some concerns, however, that we have some restrictive covenants that we might want to negotiate with the city regarding the development of this facility, and those have not been fully vetted with the administration yet. But I don't think any of those covenants would be a deal breaker. And my conversations with these folks on the right here have been collegial and in good faith. So I think, again, that this is a win-win, and I hope you support it.
Any questions for the commissioner? There being any, none, I'm sorry, anyone else testify for or against? All right. We are making the chair renews his motion on House File 3060 be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Next bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
You're welcome. House File 2240, the chair will move the bill. Mr. Ngaro, if you could come down. Representative Lewis, Ms. Lewis, do you have any? I lost her. No objections. The chair turned around, so we've got you blocked. Mr. Ngaro is coming down. This has to do with St. Louis County tax forfeited, and if we have any questions, the department has indicated that they have no problems with the bill. If you have any questions for Mr. Ngaro, he's here before us. He can explain them with regarding the point, Minnesota Point in Duluth. Are there any questions on the bill? There being none, anyone in the audience to testify for or against House File 2240? There being none, thank you, Mr. Ungaro. We'll lay the bill over for possible inclusion. The chair renews his motion. The next is a Erickson bill. That was probably the best testimony we've had in quite a while. I'll send a text to your boss.
Chairman Dill, you haven't heard mine yet.
So. Oh, okay. Very good. But you can't get any better. You've already screwed it up because you already spoke. Okay, the chair will move House File 2301 and for possible inclusion. Oh, I'm sorry. Be referred to Environment and Natural Resources Finance. And one moment, please. I'll need the amendment. So we're taking in that order. So the chair will move the A1 amendment for Representative Erickson, if you could explain the A1 amendment. Oh. Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, we're going to withdraw the motion. I understand how we're going to do this now. We're going to withdraw that motion, and we're going to have the DE1 amendment. It's not coded, the DE1. Okay, we'll move the DE1 amendment. The chair moves the DE1 amendment to Representative Erickson's bill. Representative Erickson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the lands bill, and it's incorporating several of the things that you've already agreed to. It is my understanding that all of these are going to be rolled into one bill for the sending it off to the next committee on Thursday. There's a few of the things in here. It's they're combining the Lake Vermilion and the Sudan underground mine into one state park. There are several other various relations or land sales and exchanges that are part of the bill. I'm sorry I was so wordy.
All right, any questions on the DE1? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, could Ms. Lewis run through the provisions? There are provisions in here that are not included in what we already heard, or is it only all the bills that we just
Ms. heard? Lewis is coming forward.
Okay. I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, is she going to walk through the other provisions that were that are DNR provisions so that we understand them?
We can ask Ms. Lewis any question we want. She'll answer it as she is appropriate, like the other bill. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lewis, I'm wondering if you could walk through the non-controversial DNR provisions extremely quickly so that we understand all what's in the bill.
Ms. Lewis, welcome again.
Mr. Chair, Kathy Lewis, DNR. Certainly I can do that. For the DNR provisions, it's both a few land policy changes and some land sale provisions. And the first section of the bill is Lake Vermilion State Park, and you'll see that in a few sections. We are merging Lake Vermilion State Park and the Sudan Underground Mine State Park. And so section one of the bill is recognizing the new name of the park. Section 2 of the bill is a DNR provision, and that is regarding state forest lands. It's the R.J. Dorr Memorial Forest down in southeastern Minnesota. And this provides that instead of the exemption for the requirement to sell tillable land, currently it would have to go to the LCCMR. This provides that it goes to the county board, provides more local control, and creates efficiencies in management. Section 3 of the bill, 3 through 8, concern tax forfeited land sale reviews. And that comes from the DNR bill. And this changes the process that it removes the DNR from the approval process for tax forfeited land sales. And this will remove a layer of government review. The county boards would still need to be doing the review. Section by section, Section 3 removes the DNR approval of timber values for sale of tax forfeited land and also removes the requirement that the DNR approve the sale of tax forfeited land in counties that have a state forest. Section 4 is when land becomes tax forfeited, it has to be classified as conservation or non-conservation, and there's an approval process by the DNR that removes the DNR approval from that process. Section 5 of the bill concerns lands bordering public waters. 282.018 provides that tax forfeit lands bordering public waters are withdrawn from sale. There's an exception in the law that says if it's 150 feet or less, the DNR can give approval for the sale. It removes the DNR from that approval process. The county board would still have to give approval. Also in that section, there's a provision that the DNR provides recommendations to the legislature on tax forfeited bills that come before you because of the water frontage. It removes the DNR from doing those recommendations as a mandatory requirement. Section 6 is a technical change due to other provisions. It just identifies a statutory change number. Section 7 and 8 concern memorial forest, municipal forest, removes the DNR from the approval of that process. The next section is Lake Vermilion State Park, Sudan Underground Mine State Park, which is Section 9 of the amendment. And that is, we're looking at the PILT payment issue. What it does is recognize the new name of the park. It provides that the evaluation of the lands is on the same cycle as set up by the 2013 legislature for all other state lands. It does not change the PILT payment rate for this park, which is at 1.5% of appraised value, so that the rate itself does not change. The next section, 10, is also from the DNR bill. That's the Greenleaf Lake State Recreation Area in Meeker County. We're deleting some private lands from the boundary of the SRA. This was at the request of the landowner. Section 11 of the bill is the Snake River State Forest. This is in Kanabe County. We're expanding the boundary to include land that the DNR currently owns to provide further protection of critical habitat. Section 13 of the bill is from the DNR bill. Section 13 of the amendment, that is a private sale of surplus state land in Becker County. It's the Osage Wayside Rest Area. It's a 0.5-acre parcel. It's currently managed in a joint powers agreement with the Osage Township, and this would convey the property to the Osage Township. The local Lions Club also helps with management of the property. Next one is in Kitson County, and in the amendment, it is found in Section 32 of the amendment, and this is a public sale of surplus land within a state park. DNR has been working with Kitson County on looking at land management issues, and we've identified that there's small platted parcels that are intermingled with private parcels within this platted area within Lake Bronson State Park, and this would authorize the sale of those parcels not needed for park purposes. There's also sections in the bill concerning Lake Vermilion State Park. Subsequently, it's the formal merger of the park into the one park. It deletes the Tower Sudan State Park as a separate park, and it also has instructions to the reviser about maintaining history. There's also a housekeeping change regarding a land exchange law that's found in Chapter 84. It moves it to the other land exchange laws, which are located in Chapter 94, but there's no change in language. And that is the DNR bill that's incorporated into the DE1 amendments.
Representative McNair.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if this was caught, but on line 2.1, where it references United States Soil Conservation Service, that's not the formal name. It's the Natural Resources Conservation Service is the actual name. And so if I would move that oral amendment to get it correct.
Oral amendment moved by Representative Hansen. First off, we need to adopt actually the DE1 amendment first and then take the oral amendment. So to the DE1, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? To the oral motion by Representative Hansen. Ms. Taylor, do you have that?
Yes.
Okay, we need to get the page in line again on that, please, Representative Hansen.
I'm working. I think it's on on the bill, line 2.1. It says United States Soil Conservation Service, and it's the United States Natural Resources Conservation Service. On the DE1, it is on line 1.18.
Okay, Ms. Taylor's looking for that right now.
1.18.
Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, I did locate it, but I'll need him to repeat that change. I'm sorry.
Mr. Okay. Chair, Ms. Taylor, line 1.18, where it says United States, and then strike soil and insert natural resources.
Any question on the oral amendment by Representative Hansen? Being none, in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Now we have the A1 amendment. The chair moves 2301A1 to your amendment, Representative Erickson. Oh, I'm sorry. Whose amendment is it? One moment, please. This is a Representative Anderson Mark A1. Is anyone prepared to explain that amendment? Ms. Lewis, thanks for coming to the rescue. The chair moves the 2301 A1 amendment for Representative Anderson. Ms. Lewis, if you could explain the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment concerns tax forfeit lands in Wadena County. The bill was introduced on Monday in the House. It has been reviewed by the DNR. We've worked actually extensively with Wadena County. They have not had a tax forfeited land sale for a significant amount of time, and so we have worked with them through their various parcels that they have asked to be put up for sale, and we have reached agreement with the county, and they brought the bill forward, so we support and recommend passage of this bill.
All right. In the absence of Representative Anderson, does anyone have any questions of Ms. Lewis? All right. There being none, in favor of the A1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Anderson, for that fine amendment. Now, Ms. Taylor has some oral amendments to the bill, technical in nature, that she would like to propose. Ms. Lewis, or Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, the first would be on page 17.
We're working on the delete all, is that
yep.
correct?
All right. Working off the DE1 amendment. Delete sections 29 and 30. These are duplicates between the ANZELS and the Purcell Itasca County.
Okay, we'll take these individually. Does anyone have any questions on the oral technical amendment? Being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion prevails. Next.
And the next would be on page 22, lines 15 and 16. We need to delete the sentence about the conveyance of land no longer considered state bond finance property. For the Washington County provision, so on line 22.15, delete everything after the period, and delete line 22.16, and let's just conform to the bill as
any questions
for.
On the oral amendment? Chair moves the oral amendment. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right. To the bill, House File 2301, as amended, Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I am going to move an amendment to delete Section 5 on page 4 and explain my motion.
And you're working off the DE1, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
The land here is property of the state. It borders on waters. And right now, the current procedure is for DNR commissioner to evaluate the lands. You'll look at line 4.33 and their public benefits and make recommendations on the proposed dispositions to the committees of the legislature.
Okay. Representative Wagenius moves to delete section 5 of the of the bill as amended, which would appear on line 4.13 of page 4. Is that correct, Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, the DNR obviously brought forth the proposal. There are actually two actions in this section of the bill. One is that the DNR gets out of the approval process for properties with 150 feet or less. And then the second part is providing the recommendations to the legislature. And it's obviously a proposal from the DNR. And the legislature gets to choose if they want to have us continue to do that task.
Questions on the Wagenius Amendment? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lewis, could you lay out a scenario where this may make things go easier or faster or not have public input? What would be some scenarios for happening in this provision?
Ms. Lewis.
The state is essentially forfeiting all this land.
Mr. Chair, members, if the counties do not have to come to the DNR for approval of the 150 feet, they have to go to the county board, but that would remove about 2 months from the process for them to be able to move through the sale process. For the recommendations, we go through the review process and provide feedback to the county to identify issues, and then we have the letters prepared so when the bills come before the legislature, we're in most cases prepared to provide an answer quickly on what our recommendation is to the legislature and what to do regarding the bill. So we can still provide the recommendations, but this removes the mandatory requirement that we do so.
Representative McNamara. Representative Fabian, I see that pencil.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lewis, have you had some conversations with county officials and so forth? I'm assuming that they are fairly supportive of this if it's streamlining the process.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, we brought it for the county land commissioners. I do have a letter of support from the county land commissioners. If you'd like a copy, they were all in favor of the change in the bill. So we have had discussion with them.
Representative McNamara.
I'm just wondering if we could see the letter, Mr. Chair.
Okay. The letter is going to be passed around. Any further questions? Representative Wagenius.
Well, it's not a question. This is not about process. This is about giving up state land. That's what's going on here. So I think it's appropriate when there is state land. This is land which is property of the state as a result of forfeiture. And there could be public benefits to the citizens of Minnesota, and it is appropriate that DNR make that evaluation. This is not a process question, and I don't think it's appropriate to characterize it as one. This is state lands that the commissioner is recommending to give up or not give up. Of course, the counties would love to just take this land, but that's not it's not where we should be. We have a fiduciary duty to the people of Minnesota, and with that fiduciary duty, I would hope we would delete this section.
Ms. Lewis, do you have anything to... Oh, Mr. Meyer, welcome to the committee. It's been so long.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. Bob Meyer. Seems like just yesterday I was here. Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. Since this letter was addressed to me, I thought I would come up and just discuss the issue here. This is an item we had put on the table as we were looking at items to try to streamline and make things better. I've had conversations with members of the legislature who are concerned about this. Obviously, it's up to you if you want us to do this or not, but should this be taken out of the bill, we can continue to work with members and try to figure out a different process that would meet our needs and also the needs of the county and provide protections for the state.
Questions for Mr. Meyer? Representative Fabian? Do you have a motion? You have further discussion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm
I'm sensitive to Representative Guadagnino's comments, but I also, as I've said before, I have great confidence in our locally elected officials to be able to make decisions that are sound. And I think that, I mean, they are citizens of the state of Minnesota as well. And I think that they have a concern about the fiduciary responsibility that elected officials have. And I think that we kind of share in that in some sort of a symbiotic relationship. And I would encourage us to not approve the Guadagnino amendment and would respectfully ask for a roll call, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Yarusso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In this particular instance, the local governments and the state have a slightly different interest from each other. They don't. The state answers to all of the people of the entire state, and the local government answers to their local people, and as defined above in 4.17 to 4.23. You know, that all of us have an interest in these properties that border on water. And it's one thing to streamline a process, but it's another to just eliminate the process. So I would agree with Representative Guadagnino on this.
Further, Representative Pavia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, and I'll ask this maybe of Mr. Meyer and Ms. Lewis. I don't think that we're eliminating a process. Representative Yarusso, I don't remember exactly the words that you used. I hope that I would be able to do that. But I think that we're just changing the process somewhat. And there are still safeguards in place. And Mr. Meyer, am I wrong there?
Mr. Chairman, members, Bob Meyer, DNR. The legislature would still have to approve these parcels, I believe, but we would not be providing input. So the net impact of that would be a lot longer of a hearing, probably, since I think most of these things that we've heard previous to this point today, we have reviewed and we have signed off on. So that's one of the things that are there. I really think that the intent of this language as we proposed it was not to cause any problems, but to streamline things. And we can come back and work with the county land commissioners and other stakeholders to try to come up with a different process if people want us to do that and leave this language for another year. It's not going to be the end of the world if it were to be taken out at this point in time.
Senator McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, remind me now, this is mostly an issue in northern Minnesota that we're talking about, where we have these, it's more common. No, Ms. Lewis is shaking her head, no. I thought I knew the answer. Usually don't like to ask questions around here unless you know the answer. So I'm looking pretty foolish right now. So is this not mostly applicable to the northern counties?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I can, since Dr. Lewis works on this issue more closely, I think she can be the best one to respond to that.
Representative Johnson. You were up for a question. Did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, but I just have a point of clarification. I don't know if Representative McNamara had his question answered. I can be patient.
I'm sorry, I lost. Yeah. Representative McNamara.
Sorry. Well, I probably messed you up, Mr. Chair. Sorry, but I think Ms. Lewis was going to answer my question.
Oh.
I had kind of a two-phase question. First, I wanted to ask, aren't most of the counties in northern Minnesota that would be affected by allowing the these decisions and not have to have the DNR involved?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, for Section 5 of the DE1 amendment, the water frontage is found throughout the state for tax forfeited. It's certainly higher percentage of tax forfeitures in northern and central Minnesota than in southern, but even in Ramsey and Kennepin County, you get forfeitures of riparian parcels. So it affects most of the counties in the state. On the other hand, the DNR does end up approving most requests for sale or riparian parcels of 150 feet or less. So we do the exercise, and we talk to the counties, but there's very few that we actually deny. And they can still come to the legislature on those if we do deny them.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as an And Ms. Lewis, I've been an advocate for times when we need to purchase land in Minnesota, but also at the same time an advocate to streamline the process for selling land. These lands are actually managed by the counties. Even though they're tax forfeited lands, they're managed by the counties. Is that true?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, that is correct. Representative McNamara.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, where I respect Mr. Meyer's thoughts that we could come back next year, I actually would want to support the Fabian Amendment for someone who feels there is a need in parts of our state for the state to be strategic and buy more land. We do need to streamline the process for selling land when it's appropriate. And the land, the commissioners, the county commissioners, and especially in our northern states, have tried. I think there's examples where they have opportunities to sell land, but our process is very slow and cumbersome. And so, actually, I would want to oppose the Wagenius Amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, well, to correct things, we're on the Wagenius Amendment and a roll call by Representative Fabian. And I just want to go through, if you look at the letter that was provided to you, Lake of the Woods County, Representative Erickson, St. Louis County, Lake County, Cook County, and Coochin County, Dill. I think that goes to the point, Beltrami and Cass, Purcell. Most of the tax forfeit land is in the north, as Representative McNamara says. That being said, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have a question related to this for Ms. Lewis. This gets me back to Wadena County, the amendment that we approved. Am I to understand then that the parcels that are listed on the A1 amendment that was added to the bill, are those county? The county manages this. This is county land now. It's tax forfeit. It's owned. Is it owned by the county? Yeah.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members. The Wadena County bill is tax forfeited land. Tax forfeited land is owned by the state of Minnesota and trust for the taxing districts. The counties have responsibility for managing tax forfeited lands. There are certain DNR approvals required for certain activities. The DNR manages mineral rights for tax forfeited lands, so the mineral leasing for tax forfeited lands is through the DNR. So, but the surface is managed generally by the counties.
Ms. Lewis, the mineral leasing has no involvement in this land transaction, however, because we're not changing the ownership or any processes related to mineral leasing. I want to make sure that issue is separate from the surface rights that we're dealing with in the DE1 amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And there's a provision in 282.01 that says the counties cannot sell land, tax forfeited land that's held under a state mining lease, and that law is not being changed by any proposal here, so the counties would not be able to sell tax forfeited land subject to a state mining lease.
Further questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, let's just use the Wadena County example. It helps narrow it down for me. So am I to understand that these are state-owned lands managed by the county, and as the county asked for these to be sold, and that did those come for review under the provisions we're talking about related amendment by the DNR?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, that is correct. They did come for a review by the DNR before they came into the legislative package.
Mr. Chair.
And
then, Ms. Lewis, if we were to not adopt the amendment and make the changes as proposed in the bill, then the sale of state-owned lands would be determined solely by the county?
Yes.
Nope. Sorry.
Help me out.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, the proposal in the bill removes the DNR approval for water frontage less than 150 feet. The DNR does not have approval for water frontage over 150 feet. They all have to come before the legislature, and that's what you've been reviewing in most cases since the hearing started today. Those are water frontage parcels exceeding 150 feet. The other provision in this section says that the DNR is required to provide recommendations, and that's why I've been here providing the DNR recommendations regarding the bills that you've been seeing, and that's the other provision in this section that we would take out of the bill. that we would not be providing recommendations to the legislature.
Representative Johnson, you're getting a lesson that many of the older members got in their freshman year as well. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the lesson. After all, I'm the freshest member of the legislature.
And
my youth shows, right? You know. Again, these parcels in Wadena County then are less than 150 feet ashore.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, the parcels in Wadena County that were less than 150 feet were approved by the DNR, and you do not see those. The parcels in the bill are over 150 feet of frontage, and they have to come to the legislature for approval, and they would continue to come to the legislature for approval.
Mr. Chair, one last question then. The parcels that are more than 150 feet of shore, are they? Does the DNR weigh in on the value, or does the DNR weigh on the goodness of selling those parcels?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, the DNR provides, if we have concerns, which we have had on a few of the bills today, we do identify that to the legislature. Also, what happens is sometimes we identify concerns and the county decides not to proceed at all with the sale, and you'll never see the bill because they will just continue to hold those lands.
Thank you.
That doesn't have to be your last question. This is a good education, and don't be embarrassed on any questions. I remember bills that have been before me in the 12 years where it had a particular stream or something that a member wanted to get a relief from to make it go private, and the DNR objected because it exceeded the 150-foot rule, and they objected, and we did not put those in the lands bill.
Mr. Chair, then I'll just finish. And the reason I'm asking about Wadena County is because I own land on the Crow Wing River, and it's possible that these are parcels, but I'm also well aware that the county's been frustrated. This is pretty low bottom land. This is not, it's hard to imagine how, I wonder if these sales will succeed, and I know they've been anxious to try and sell them. But it seems to me, I could also see the situation where the county may want to sell them, but the DNR would have some concerns about these. But if as these are moving forward, the DNR fundamentally is approving those sales.
Ms. Lewis.
That's a question. Is the DNR fundamentally approving those sales?
Mr. Chair, members, the Wadena County tax forfeited parcels that you saw in the bill, the DNR has reviewed them. DNR has no concerns about the sale of the parcels. We're not having an approval or a disapproval authority, but if we actually disapproved them, we would actually be here testifying against that section of the bill.
And so, Ms. Lewis, just if a county came in and asked to sell a wetland that was adjacent to a stream or a lake, you would have a different view on that probably than some upland, for example, that was in another location. Would that be? That's the kind of bill I remember that you had objections to. Particularly up in my district, I remember one. There was the county wanted to go forward. That's the type of one that you would object to, or at least put under close scrutiny. Okay, any other questions? Well, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Johnson, you got the same lesson I got. Ms. Lewis knows her stuff, I'll tell you that. You know, with regards to your comments about the wetlands and so forth, I'm not sure who represents Kuching County. I think I know who represents that. If memory serves me correctly, except maybe less than 1% of the county is a wetland, so it would make some of these, it would mitigate some of these sales. I know that in our part of the state, working with the DNR on strategic land asset management and so forth, it's a very cumbersome, time-consuming, slow process. And when you, even when you have two willing parties to complete some of these exchanges and so forth, it just takes so long. So, I support the effort here, not the amendment, but I support DNR's effort to streamline the process. Thank you.
Regarding Kuching County, I think I got it from the auditor that in Kuching County you could use up 100 acres of wetlands a year without any mitigation, and you would have 100 acres a year for 140 years before you used up 1% of the wetlands in Cochinchin County. So that's the extent in Cochinchin County. So any further discussion on the amendment? And that's deleting Section 5 in the delete all amendment, starting at line 5.5 and ending at 5.24. Is that, I got the wrong side. Starting at 4.3 and ending at line 5.4. Is that the amendment, Representative Wagenius?
That is the amendment.
Roll call has been requested. I want to explain that voting aye supports the Wagenius amendment. Voting no means to leave it in the bill. Chair votes no.
Representative Fisher?
Aye.
Representative Benson?
Aye.
Representative Cornish? Representative Fabian?
No.
Representative Green?
No.
Representative Hapfar? Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Isaacson?
Aye.
Representative McNamara? Representative Purcell? Representative Uglum?
No.
Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Representative Urusso?
Aye.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Eight to five, the amendment does prevail. The section is deleted. Any further questions on the bill? No further technical amendments? Any questions on the bill by the members? Anyone in the audience like to testify for or against the bill as amended? All right. The chair renews his motion for House File 2301 as amended to be referred to the Environment, Natural Resources, Agriculture, and Finance Committee. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That was a little weak, folks. All in favor? I mean, motion prevailed.
Aye.
Okay. Next bill before us is House File 1711. That is to be referred to the Environment, Natural Resources, and Finance Agriculture Committee. Representative Kelly, he has an A1 amendment. The chair will move the bill and move the amendment. Representative Kelly, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For all practical purposes, we should really not be here tonight, but we appreciate your time. A constituent of mine, Mr. Mark Schoenfelder, came to me 3 years ago with what we felt was a minor land issue. Mr. Schoenfelder purchased a block of land, 21 acres, with a prescriptive easement because the quick background on the land, it's 21 acres, but it's got basically a canyon between the middle of it, so you cannot get from the front to the back without the easement, the road going around the sides, which this easement has been there for approximately 80 years. So Mr. Schoenfelder purchased this land, and the land also abuts next to a WMA, which the DNR has in its purview. So the issue came with actually accessing that property when it came to be on surveying that easement was actually not in the land, but part of the WMA. And so we've been trying to work together with the DNR for approximately 3 years. The culmination of that was last year we agreed to a bill where the DNR and I and Senator Schmidt, Representative Joskowski, and members of the DNR met to form an agreement that said that we would do sell 0.51 acres to Mr. Schoenfelder because of this easement. And in the language, as we passed out of committee, it said we shall sell the land. The way things go around here sometimes, as we move the bill from the process and included in the omnibus bill, the language got switched to May. Fast forward another year later, and Mr. Schoenfelder now has a letter that says, well, we know what we agreed to in our agreement, but it really does say May now, so we really don't have to
abide by our agreement. So, Mr. Chair, thank you for indulging me on the background there. So, as I said, I don't believe we should need to be here, but we are trying to. This Bill 1711 actually puts the exact same language in that we agreed to last year, but now reinserts the word shall back into the language. And I would ask Mr. Schoenfelder to just add one bit of information on the prescriptive easement that he, as he purchased the land. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself, please, and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Mark Schoenfelder. In regards to the easement that Representative Kelly discussed, we purchased the property, and again, maybe a little bit more, to get a little bit more detail on the background of the property, the farmer, Mr. Dressen, that had owned the property to the south in which the easement's over, he and then the property owners that I bought the property from in 2010, the Wallins, Mr. Dressen was going to sell to the Minnesota Land Trust or to Pheasants Forever. And so at the time then, the Wallins that I purchased the property from, they entered into an agreement because just knowing, you know, when you don't have neighbors together talking anymore and property changes hand, they really tried to memorialize the easement. And so they had the easement written up. They had never had it surveyed. And so as we fast forward here, there was always a, and I'm not sure if that had gotten in the packets, there's a affidavit from Mr. Dressen.
I think there were copies sent down, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if that those were included in the.
Go ahead.
Anyway, sorry. So the easement, the driveway that had always been there, did not match because I never had it surveyed, never matched the legal description. So back in 2011, I approached, thinking about as neighbors would, I approached the regional office in Rochester and talked to the area manager about, I laid out maybe four options to resolve the issue. As a side note, as a background, I'm a civil engineer and a licensed land surveyor, so I've dealt with boundary issues before, and so I tried to lay out four, in my opinion, reasonable options. The first was just to re-describe the easement to match where Mr. Dressen and others in the past have always driven on this farm road. So we fast forward, and the long story is, I ended up, it continued to get escalated. There was really no support for any of the options that were presented. So I proceeded. I had worked through an attorney in Red Wing, and there was some correspondence. Again, looking at the prescriptive right that, we'd always, myself and Mr. Dressen, for years prior to the DNR owning the property, there was the prescriptive right to drive over that area. Because I did actually get a letter from the DNR stating that, you can't claim a prescriptive right against the state of Minnesota. Well, this driveway had been there years before the DNR had acquired it. So we fast forward to now, last year when we went through some meetings with the DNR, again, Representative Kelly, Representative Druskowski, Senator Schmidt, and again, looking at some of the options and coming to an agreement. And I guess really, Mr. Representative Kelly summed it up that we thought we had an agreement going in, and it's been very difficult. It's been really a emotional roller coaster. So, sorry.
Questions by the committee. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schoenfelder, I'm just wondering, is the aerial photo we have, it's labeled 2010 and it's got a little white line. Is that the property line? And could you orientate me to which way is north on this map?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, the photo where it says 2010 photo on the very top of the page, that's north. So if you look at, there's some yellow lines, and those are the property boundaries. Those, I'm not sure how it looks on your copies, but white or yellow, there's some lines. One cuts across almost the middle of the page toward the bottom of the wooded area.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schoenfelter, then, if north is the way it's orientated on our map, it would be north would be to the left. So that looks like an existing two-track is to the south of the property you bought. Would that be true?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schoenfelter, so you said you work for DOT. You're a civil engineer and a land surveyor, a registered land surveyor. So you bought the property. Did you know, you said it's the line's yellow on your map, it's white on ours. Did you know where that white line was when you bought the land? Did you know that the road to the access, the west side of your property was through someone else's property?
I knew the road was across the property, but there was an easement that had been written. As far as the language of the easement, I was unaware that it did not match the physical location of the driveway.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Schoenfelter, you bought this property thinking the easement was on your property?
Mr. Chair, members, no. I fully was aware that the easement was across, which is now the DNR land.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you bought the property with the idea that you thought you had an easement on, it was somebody else's property before DNR, but now DNR. And did you provide us with a copy of that easement?
Mr. Chair, members, I did not provide a copy of the exact, the easement language. No, I did not. I'm sorry, I did provide an affidavit of Mr. Dressen, who had provided... who had actually entered into the agreement with the Wallens, who I purchased the property from. He was the previous owner of the property at which the easement crosses.
Representative Ugel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions. You may have hit on this for Mr. Schoenfelter. You've been working on this project for how long?
Since 2011.
And you may have touched on this also, but how many acres are we talking about here? Total? This is pretty small, isn't it?
Yes, it's. I can probably get you the exact figure, but it's. I believe it's less than. It's like around a half an acre or three quarters of an acre.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Uglum, it's 0.51.
0.51 acres. Okay. And with the affidavit John Dreesen gave you, seems like it's a legal affidavit and things. What has been the problem here?
Mr. Chair and members, really where the problem is. As I mentioned earlier, I had worked through an attorney in Red Wing that had written several letters to the DNR, to the regional wildlife manager. And, you know, again, I was trying to propose some reasonable solutions instead of having to litigate the matter because, I mean, quite frankly, my attorney told me it would cost me $20,000 to litigate it. So that's why it was very frustrating to not to, you know, even with the affidavit and everything else, to have to go through litigation to... really to go through and essentially formalize a use that's been there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does seem like a mountain over a molehill type thing here. Yeah.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm kind of perplexed by this because I've purchased property with an easement across it and had adjacent landowners who had to cross my property, so it's on the deed for both property. I don't know how you can buy property without an access and then come to the legislature and force the access if it wasn't on the deed.
Schoenfelter.
Mr. Chair, members, it is a recorded easement. And that's where the issue lies, is it, and I do actually have a copy of the easement in my file here. The easement was poorly written, and again, they never had it surveyed. Their intent was to facilitate access to the rear of the property. And so there is actually a deed that benefits, I mean, I guess actually here's the document that's recorded is document 376814 in the county recorder's office. That's really, it's an agreement between Mr. Dressen, whose affidavit you have, and Robert and Virginia Wallen, who I bought the property from, and it really describes and lays out the driveway easement. Again, the issue is that the physical location does not match where the easement was because they, I mean, quite frankly, they never wanted to spend the money, I don't believe, to really have an attorney draft up the full document and then have it surveyed.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, but so I understand you have a document between two prior landowners, but when the DNR purchased from the prior landowner where the easement crossed that property, was that easement extinguished? In the current recording of the deed with the DNR, does the easement show up? In that, I mean, you can have an agreement between two property owners, but on the current, if I went down to Red Wing and looked in the county courthouse, done the deed with the WMA, does it have the easement recorded?
Mr. Chair and members, I have not looked at the document, but it is all likely that there's an encumbrance or against the DNR property that shows this easement document, that their property is subject to this easement.
Mr. Chair, well, in all likelihood, well, that, I mean, we're here in front of the legislature asking for a legislative correction, and we don't have evidence of whether that exists.
Representative Morgenius.
Thank you. The kind of dispute we're having right now is the kind that is taken before courts and not legislatures.
Schoenfelder, I have a question. When you bought the land, I want to make sure I got it right. When you bought the land, the easement you believe went with the land, your access to get to your land, is that correct?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, that
did,
is.
Did your title insurance company write an opinion on the title that included that ingress and egress?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, there is. My property has the benefit of this easement across the DNR property.
That wasn't my question. Oh. My question was, did the title company state that they were assuring you that your access was legal and correct? And what the point I'm trying to make is that your first claim may be to the title company.
Yes.
Because when you buy a piece of land and you buy an access particularly from someone else that should be recorded on the deed or be a matter of public record and you buy title insurance, which I assume you did, that then when that easement isn't correct or it isn't enforceable, that your first claimant should be your title insurance company and the attorney possibly that gave you the opinion that you had legal access. Now, I understand what you're trying to do, but I'm trying to back up in the process. I've sadly been down this road once, and it ended up that there was an errors and omission claim and a title insurance claim on that particular, was an ag piece of property. And, I mean, that's where I went to get my relief. Now, that still wouldn't convey to you the DNR's land. The two things that I just mentioned, that still wouldn't get that job done. But I'm just saying, why have you followed those avenues? That's my question.
Oh, sorry, Chair and members. No, I haven't gone down that avenue. Again, stepping back, I just thought it was a very simple, again, trying to look at it as, two neighbors trying to come up to an agreement that seemed very logical and
but we're not disputing that two neighbors came up with the agreement. Now the DNR owns the land, and they're saying that you don't have an access. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members, no, the DNR, they're not saying I don't have an access. What it is where the driveway is versus where the legally defined access.
So then you don't have an access because it's not on the property that you thought of. That would be no different than me buying a piece of property and thinking that my access was here and two years later found it's a mile away because it wasn't done properly, and the title insurance company and the attorney should have caught all of that. Anyway, further questions? Representative McNamara, then Fabian, then you yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, in full disclosure, my constituents were the fundraisers when they lost one of their family members for this WMA. So it is an issue for me because my constituents are extremely bummed out to see part of this wildlife management area possibly be lost. But Mr. Schoenfelter, I don't think you're in the right spot becoming for the legislature, especially if I'm understanding you correctly now. You're a civil engineer and a registered land surveyor. I would think that if you bought 10 acres with the idea that you were going to build a house on the back part of the property and know the topography of this land and know that your only access was on that two-track for a farmer into his field, you would have made sure that the two-track was on the easement that you thought you bought. I understand that you're bummed out. You found out you don't have an easement where you thought you had it, and you may not have access to the back of your property. But I would suggest you go back and negotiate with the DNR. You're in a tough spot. The Murtaughs are in a tough spot. I think you can find a resolution to this issue some way or another. I don't believe this issue should be resolved by the legislature right now. I think that's the wrong thing to do, to be putting in a for sale. There's a lot of issues here, and it's not, I don't think you're in the right purview to be here.
Does anyone in the audience wish to testify for or against the bill, including the Department of Natural Resources, Ms. Lewis or Mr. Meyer? A new person shall come before us.
I think it's my cough.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paul Thielander, Wildlife Section Chief for DNR. And there's been a pretty thorough discussion of what's happened here. I just want to clarify a couple of things. With regard to the easement that was discussed, that easement is an east-west linear corridor paralleling the boundary between Mr. Schoenfeld's property and the WMA. So that's what's recorded, and it does not match the two-track field roads. That's where the issue came up. We had some concerns about where the access would be located. It was mentioned we worked with Mr. Schoenfelder and local legislators, and we also tried to satisfy the wishes of the Murtaugh family. This is the John Murtaugh Memorial WMA. Try to find something that would be acceptable to all all parties involved here. And then when things kind of fell through last August, Mr. Schoenfelder approached us and asked if DNR would be interested in acquiring his property. And we indicated that in response that yes, we would be. So we proceeded down that road. In fact, we've completed an appraisal just today and had it approved by our Fish and Wildlife Division. So we're prepared to make an offer to Mr. Schoenfelder this week.
All right. The chair withdraws his motion on the bill, on the amendment, and the bill. And we are going to wait. Offer to Mr. Schoenfeld. We're moving on to. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
All right. The next item will be House File 2628, which will be re-referred to the Transportation Policy Committee. This is a Hansen bill, or Tip Hansen, two-year bill, House File 2628.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 2628 is very short and simple, asking the commissioners of DNR and Transportation to cooperate to use weigh stations and rest areas where feasible as sites for watercraft decontamination and other activities to prevent the spread of AIS.
Okay, we have a couple of testifiers. Mr. Forrester. Mr. Forrester is not here. Mr. Skoll. Skoll. From the State Patrol. Mr. Sokol. welcome to the committee and state your name. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Matt Sokol. I'm a captain with the Minnesota State Patrol of the Commercial Vehicle Section. I'm not here today to testify as opposition to the bill. I just have some safety concerns about the use of weigh scale facilities that's proposed in House File 2628.
Well, thank you very much, and that testimony would be taken up in the Transportation Committee for where we're going to refer the bill. Do you want to go ahead with this testimony, Representative Hansen, or would you like to take up that testimony in the Transportation Committee?
Well, this if we did an amendment, we wouldn't have to go to the Public Safety Committee, which would be the troopers' concern. So there's an amendment to Mr. Sokol had come to me and said they had safety concerns relating to backup of vehicles on that. And so I would move, I think Ms. Taylor has some language that I think would streamline the process.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, if you look at the bill on line 1.2, delete weigh stations and then on line 1.8, also delete weigh stations and.
Okay, any questions on the... on the amendment. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails to the bill as amended, House File 2628. Do you have further testimony, Mr. Sokol?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And further questions on the Hansen bill? There being none, anyone in the audience testify for or against the bill? There being none, the Chair, Representative Hansen, renews his motion that House File 2628, as amended, go to the Transportation Policy Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Hansen, you have another bill here, House File 2311, County Commissioner prohibited from serving as drainage inspector. I heard that one in another committee. Representative Hansen moves to go to the General Register, House File 2311. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and members, this also is very simple. It says county commissioners can't serve in the enforcement role. Most counties have moved towards professional staff that are doing the inspection role. There are a few counties that still do this, so this is an explicit prohibition that removes any potential for conflict of interest.
Ms. Garland. Welcome to the committee. If you'd like to identify yourself, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Annalie Garlitz, and I'm with the Association of Minnesota Counties. AMC and the Board of Water and Soil Resources have heard from a number of counties, as Representative Hansen indicated, and the majority of counties that we have heard from do not use county commissioners as the drainage inspector. However, we have heard from two counties so far, and there could be potentially others that do use county commissioners. And they've indicated that this is a cost-saving measure and that they view it as a local decision for people to go out and do take on this role as people who understand their constituents and understand the land. So, and I also have heard from some other commissioners from around the state that while they use consultants or different staff people within their county now, they would like this to remain a local flexibility, a local decision to continue to use the county commissioners. So I've shared this with Representative Hansen, and he's talked to me about the conflict issues, and we'd like to continue to have this discussion about how this might impact some of these rural counties. Thank you.
Okay, are there questions? This bill is going to the General Register. Yes, go ahead, sir. Mr. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What can I ask what prompted this? Was there a problem? Was there a complaint?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, there's no specific incident. We, you know, if you look at county government, we don't have county commissioners inspect nursing homes. We don't have them inspect gas stations. But the role of inspecting drainage systems has been an implied role that used to be quite common. Most of the counties that have done this have changed to having the professional staff do this rather than having the elected officials serve in the enforcement role.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, this isn't a nursing home. it's a ditch, and probably a lot of these county commissioners in our area anyway, they know where this water runs probably better than anybody else you could bring in. And so and you're looking at a couple of counties that probably don't have a lot of a problem in the first place, and now they're going to have to hire somebody to come in. That's going to be an expense to the county. I don't really see a need for this.
Mr. Chair, I think there is a need. I think that drainage issues, as many of you will know, are very complicated. There are a lot of conflict with them, and having the professional trained staff do the inspection, the responsibility for enforcement would still ultimately go to the elected county board, but having the professional technical staff do this rather than the elected officials, who change every 2 years, do this role. It's a legacy type of provision that I think in 2014 is time for it to change.
Further questions? Anyone else in the audience to testify for or against the bill? There being none, Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 2311 be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Okay, I believe the last bill before us tonight is a bill to be laid over for possible inclusion. Oh, sorry about that. Got to get on the right one. This bill is House File 2715. Shall be referred to the Government Operations Committee. This is a bill on natural resources, obsolete laws, repeal, and regulatory efficiencies provided. House File 2715, the chair will move that bill. Mr. Kadelka, although I don't see MPCA up here, welcome.
Mr. Chair and committee members, for the record, my name is Kirk Kadelka with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. House File 2715 is a collection of the Environment Conservation Agency's PCA, Bowser, and DNR's unsessioned technical parts. I'll just real quick touch base on the PCA provisions. We do repeal five reports in here, legislative reports, the citizens monitoring report that we haven't had any interest in from folks, the capital assistance obligation report. Again, these reports, we haven't seen any interest in them, and they're very similar every year. The closed landfill report, we're done with the major construction for all but one landfill, which is the freeway landfill in Burnsville, which we're still working on getting into the program. A beneficial reuse water report, which no funding has been given to in a number of years, and the Midwest low-level radioactive waste commission report. Again, a report that has not had anything change in it. In terms of program changes, we do repeal the Riverbend program, which was used by local units of government in Southwest Minnesota. We've talked to those counties through AMC, and they are fine with repealing it. Those provisions, there is a corrective actions grant for federal funding that no longer exists. There are some wastewater notification procedures in here that are covered by other rules. There is a pilot project regarding treating contaminated soil that was a pilot for MPCA. Department of Health now runs that program, so the pilot's no longer needed. And then changing the refuge drive fuel portion, the federal law has now come in and is the same to that, so that's the controlling factor. The one item I want to draw your attention to, I know there will be another testifier on it, is page 11.20. It's regarding 180 days for applications for solid waste facilities. As you all know, there's a 150-day goal for the MPCA to do permits already. We believe that this isn't necessary. We already have to document any time we're over 150 days in the annual report why we have taken that long, whether it was information we hadn't received from the proposer, whether it was the agency staff had, we didn't have the resources and it was our issue. And so we believe this is something that can be taken out. And that's it for MPCA's portion. I'll stand for questions.
Questions from the members. Being done, Ms. Stroman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Sarah Stroman, Acting Deputy Director with the Board of Water and Soil Resources. There are four elements in this bill that pertain to the board. The first is a provision that facilitates voluntary consolidation of soil and water conservation districts. And what this provision does is remove a requirement for a citizen petition and referendum for voluntary consolidation and replaces it instead with a petition process to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, similar to the process that's already in place for other water management organizations, including watershed districts and water management organizations. So that threshold currently is, in many cases, impractical and it's inefficient, and so we believe this change will make it easier for districts to voluntary consolidate and make it similar with other similar entities. The other three provisions are all repealers. The first has to do with the Star Lakes program and the Star Lake Board. And this entity is actually now established as a 501c3 organization. It's an independent entity as prescribed in the statute, and so this section of statute is no longer needed. The second repealer is for the Minnesota River Board, which is a joint powers organization that operates between 38 counties in the Minnesota River Basin. That entity has struggled in recent years to deliver on its mission, and after a long process to determine how and if whether to remake itself, that group has decided to disband, and so this area of statute is no longer needed because that group is no longer functioning. And the final section is repeal of a 2010 session law that directs the Board of Water and Soil Resources to return $310,000 each year to the general fund from the special revenue fund. These are dollars that are granted to the board that we use as cost share grants. And then when we get return dollars that aren't expended by the local units of government, we use those funds to fund our oversight responsibilities over local units of government. What this return does is it basically now underfunds that oversight program that we have, as well as creates an odd accounting structure by which funds are appropriated to us for a purpose, and then when they get returned back in grants, we actually have to return $310,000 to the general fund. So those are the four provisions relating to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Ms. Strowman? Being none, Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. I believe that you should have in front of you a chart that contains all the descriptions of the provisions that are within the bill. These are outdated, antiquated sections. Mr. Chair, the one question I have is the bill contains this section 14.04, I believe, still, that may cause this bill to need to go to another committee, and I'm not sure if we want to take that out at this point in time or not. Maybe we did take that out in the first committee, didn't we? So.
Stand by one moment, please, if you would. Could you explain where you're talking about, Mr. Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, members.
In the bill.
That's in it. We took that out of a previous bill. I apologize.
Yes,
so,
we did.
This is just all the technical pieces in the DNR unsession bill. I can go through section by section if you want. The only concern that we have heard with is dealing with the repealer, which you'll find, I believe, on page 9R of the language. 103G.305, time limit to act on water use permit applications. Right now, this language says we have to act on a permit within 30 days. The problem we have is this 30-day time frame gets us to no faster rather than to yes if it takes a longer time frame. We have other permitting timelines within statute. I know we've talked about the 150-day permit goal, the 90-day Tier 2 that we're looking at. We're recommending striking this to remove confusion and to allow us a more flexibility to deal with these permits on a case-by-case basis rather than have the 30-day window. If there is consternation amongst members or from folks, we certainly aren't wed to repealing that. We're just trying to create, remove some confusions and duplication there. That's the only thing that anybody has raised any concerns to us at this point in time. If you wish, I can go through section by section, Mr. Chair.
Would anyone like Mr. Meyer to go through section by section? I had that pleasure once before, Mr. Meyer, this year.
Any questions of Mr. Meyer? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, with regards to the 30 days and so forth, rather than eliminating that, if the agency is uncomfortable with 30 days, and of course one of the issues that arises frequently is when does the 30 days actually start? But why wouldn't you just go to, say, 60 days or 90 days instead of just eliminating it altogether if it's causing a problem?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fabian, I need to have that discussion with our staff. I think that would be something we're amenable to. I know this bill has another stop. I believe it's going to go to
GovOps next.
GovOps and then possibly Environment Finance or Ways and Means. Let me talk with my staff and we can fix that. Certainly we don't have the language in front of us to do that today, but I can come back and we can offer that as a friendly amendment with the author at our next stop if so desired.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I see Mr. Quillis is here this evening. I'm wondering if he has an opinion on this. We've done a lot of work on permitting and streamlining and reforming and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tony Quillis. I'm the Director of Environmental Policy at the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, and Mr. Meyer referenced somebody that brought 103G.305 to his attention. That would be me. We were a little concerned about that, so he and I are having some conversations. As he said, he's going to go back and check with staff, Representative Fabian, as you said, and we're going to continue to have those conversations to possibly look through that conversation, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian, do you have a motion?
Yeah, I guess I would move to take it out for now, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian moves to delete that section. And Ms. Taylor, could you give us the specific section?
Yeah, Mr. Chair members, what you would want to do is on page 11, line 11.31, delete 103G.305, semicolon.
Okay. Any questions on that deletion? And if that can be worked out between now and then, we can put that back in and in another committee. I'm willing to do it. But for the time being, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion prevails. Any further questions for Mr. Meyer? I see Mr. Carnival appears that he wants to testify on the bill. Mr. Carnival.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug Carnival, representing the National Waste and Recycling Association, formerly known as the National Solid Waste Management Association. And I just have one provision that I'd like to speak to. Mr. Kudelka brought it up. It's Section 17 of the bill dealing with the PCA, and the language is on page 11, lines 18 to 20. And this is a provision that we're concerned about. As you know, we're very much in favor of streamlining as much as possible. We're in favor of repealing any obsolete or unnecessary statutory provisions. But we think this may be one repeal too far. This would repeal the 180-day requirement that the PCA deal with solid waste for, facility permits by either approving, disapproving, or in writing telling the applicant why they are not ruling on the permit, asking for more time. We think that's an important provision to stay in statute in which it requires the agency to act promptly on these matters. And we would request respectfully if the consideration from the committee to eliminate that provision from the bill. Be happy to take questions.
Mr. Kudelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the provision there, what we would do is, as we're getting close to 180 days, if the agency is not ready to issue the permit, we would write a letter outlining why we need more time for the 180 days. That's also currently recorded whenever we're past 150 days in our permitting efficiency reports annually. This would take us from working on the permit to working on the letter and the justification to make sure if there was any legal action, we could defend that letter and then have us go back to the permit. At this point, we believe the 150 days for the reporting function under further up in this section of the statute covers the same thing.
Mr. Chair, if I might, the 150-day goal is fine, but that is just a goal, and it would seem to me it would be appropriate if they're not going to make the 180 days that they respond directly to an applicant so that they understand that the delay is being requested. So we think it's appropriate to keep in law.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this has got a similar argument. I respect the commissioner's opinion about the 150-day goal. This actually is got some specific days in it, and at this point, Mr. Chair, I guess I would ask, I would move an amendment to not delete lines 11.15 through lines 11.20.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe what you would like to do then would be to delete section 17 on page 10.
That's what I meant to say, Mr. Chair.
And continuing on page 11, correct? Mr. Kudelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the sections on 11.15 are contained in other parts of statute. That's the same language that Representative Fabian put in with House File 1. If the change were to be made, we would suggest, just as mentioned, reinstating C on 11.15 and then 11.18, reinstating that sentence within 180 days, if that's the wish of the committee. The rest is already duplication further up in the statute.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, if I heard correctly, just reinstating the entire paragraph C, or... I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yep, Mr. Chair, if I might, I think just eliminate the first sentence after C and, eliminate the... Retain the first sentence after C and eliminate the second sentence begins on 11.18, beginning with 180 days. So that would be only that sentence would be stricken.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I respect the good discussion here, but actually, Mr. Chair, I think I want the whole paragraph put back in because these are not goals. The first sentence says within 30 days the agency will... do the receipt of the permit, will notify the applicant, and then it says within 180 days the agency shall approve, disapprove, or delay. These are different than the goals. I think this is a rather large discussion point that if we're not going to have the discussion, and I don't think we would be appropriate here now, I'd rather see this paragraph stay in for the time being.
Further discussion. So, to make sure that we have this right, because we've gone back and forth here. Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe the motion is still to delete the entire section 17.
And that begins where and ends where?
It begins on page 10 and continues on page 11.
Down to 11.20?
Correct.
On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else for or against the bill? There being none, the chair renews his motion for House File 2715 to be re-referred to the Government Operations Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Then we have the minutes of March 12th. Representative Vogenius moves the minutes of March 12th. All in favor of the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevailed. Meeting adjourned.